tonight, I would like to offer you a talk on what we have meditated just now in depth understanding, because we can read Buddhist books and we can somehow do a bit of meditation, but unless you really have this insight understanding and do this insight meditation, you know, you won't get this, you know, penetrating understanding of things as they are, and also the realization clearly without any doubt that things as they are is thing as they are, nothing else. And that wisdom is the wisdom that will free us from this pain, sorrow and grief of this world. So in this meditation, when we're meditating, with the associating in-breath as you breathe in, you also realize that, you know, the shoulders are rising up, and then your chest, your abdomen rising, and when you breathe out, they are falling. You know, this is naturally happening. And the notion that comes in this situation, that I'm breathing in, I'm breathing out, and that notion that I is there, and we think we are breathing in and we are breathing out. Yes, while we are concentrating, I must say we have the consciousness on this breathing. We can, for example, breathe deeper, breathe longer, and breathe shorter, etc. We can vary the breath. So when we are being conscious of breathing, we are somehow, the notion I'm breathing is there, but actually it is the concentration consciousness. When we concentrate on this breath, that's what we see. But that's not what we are doing. And if we think we are breathing in and out, it is us who's breathing with consciousness. What happens when we fall asleep, isn't it? It's breathing itself and in and out, isn't it? It doesn't forget to breathe. We don't have to say, breathe in and out while I'm sleeping. We don't have to do anything. The body does itself, whether you want it or not. Whether you want it or not, whether you're happy or unhappy, it's breathing itself in and out. When you're working on the computer, you're not conscious of your breathing. And who's breathing it then? It is breathing in and breathing out by itself. When you are absorbed in something, isn't it? We're doing a carpentry job, or, you know, a plumbing job, or a hobby job, a project, whatever you're doing, you are immersed in it, absorbed in it. And then it's breathing itself, isn't it? The causes and conditions, you know, the lungs are there, the heart's beating, pumping blood in and out. Who beat the heart? The heartbeat. Who beat it? Do we beat the heart? Consciously beat heart, you know, tell the heart, beat, you know, in and out, put the blood out and collect the blood, old blood that's flowing, refresh it, and then pump it out. Do we tell the heart to do that? The heart is doing by itself. Even on the medical shows, on the documentaries, even if the heart is taken out, the heart is still beating. It's a natural phenomena, isn't it? We're not beating that heart. For example, that heart is, we are under the operation, on the operation table, and they take our heart out, and then the heart is outside us now, repairing or whatever, it's beating. Are we still with consciousness saying to the heart, beat while you're out? Or is it beating by itself? Isn't it? So to contemplate these phenomena, whenever this I notion coming in, I'm breathing out, you contemplate on this deeply. There's no one doing it. It's just causes and conditions of the nature of this body that is doing it. If you look at in the documentaries, you look at the jellyfish, isn't it? You can see through. the jellyfish, that nothing seems to have any internal organs at all, but it is functioning, isn't it? The same thing, life as it is as such, things as they are. There's no one doing it, but these combination of things that make things happen. As soon as a baby is, you know, fully developed and the consciousness comes in, the heart starts beating. These are the natural phenomena, causes and conditions. Only when I is put into it, we have this notion of, this is me, this is I, my body, my heart, my lungs. But in reality, yes, conventionally we are associated with this body. But in ultimate reality, the body itself is there, functioning. So we have a duty, yes, to look after this body, and this for this body to prosper, to grow in a healthy way. You know, we look after it, eat proper food, and drink proper drinks to make this body last longer. But apart from that, it's got its own schedule, depending on what we eat, what we drink, how we look after it. So if we look at in this scenario, life as we call it, and the identity as we, you know, propose it, is in a sense, you know, it is based on the, you know, natural phenomena that we don't control. That we don't control. So what have, but there are influences, yes, when we are emotional, our heart beat faster, and when we are doing exercise, our heart beat faster. So, this body is also linked with the mind that creates feelings, perceptions, mental formations through the consciousness. So, if you understand this link, which are all natural phenomena, natural processes, then if you understood this, you know, when it comes to real things that produced by this body, these emotions, these feelings, then that part we understand that it is a natural process. Yes, our input is there, our skill level, our wisdom level, how much we put into it, depends on what happens to our body as well. For example, we do something terribly wrong, embezzle lots of money, or we kill somebody because of that. That due pressure, you know, put on us through all these external, you know, prison and police and courts and etc., will have an emotion so great that it affect the body as well. So, understanding this. What we do, what we say, as Buddhists, we are very careful. We're very careful in order to, you know, look after this body properly, as well as development of this mind in a healthy way, in a wholesome way, avoiding all the, you know, evil things, as Buddha said, you know, to avoid doing evils, to cultivate good. Why do we do that? Because if we don't avoid doing evils, if we don't cultivate good, the consequences can be emotionally very distressing, and the body itself run down by this stress, enormous stress. So it's not really looking after our body if we were doing evil things, if we were not cultivating good things. And this is the extreme cases of, you know, killing people and embezzling money and then going to jail and or gambling away other people's money, etc. These are extreme cases. But everyday life, with our friends, with our family, everywhere you go, even in the supermarkets, in the street, how you act and react with people, come from this wisdom that you have realized and the cultivation that you have put effort into yourself to have a mindfulness, to do wholesome things, to do good things, and to avoid evil. So when you understand this nature of this body, that is no one doing it, going by its own, but we are somehow associated with it, and this is the vehicle that we will use from our birth to our death. We look after it. Just because it's a natural phenomena, we say, oh well, bugger off, I don't have to worry about it, you know, it will end one day anyway. It doesn't work that way. As Buddhists, we have to have this right effort, right mindfulness, and right concentration in looking after this body without attachment, without grasping. So if you understood this, when Buddhists say, you know, not to do any evil, to cultivate good, you know, then you try to connect to these things, this natural phenomena, without grasping why he said that. Because if we were unwise, if we were somehow doing all these stressful things like gambling, associating with criminals, doing criminal things, and also, you know, stealing people's money, saying, telling lies, etc., and then not faithful to our partners in life and doing all sort of affairs, then if you do these unwise things, later on things catch up, and then we're in a very difficult positions, and you know, a lot of people are, you know, as you can see in the newspapers and this and that, having affairs and have to resign from their high positions, or even worse, many things happen, you know. So these are the things, stress points that comes out, created by ourselves, not understanding. The desire of this body is just the phenomena of this body. We refrain from it. We don't do these sort of things. So if we understand deeply and then, you know, try to develop wisdom out of it, we naturally wouldn't want to do anything that is evil, wouldn't want to commit anything that is not wholesome, that is not good. So you know, we try to cultivate good. And then, you know, we keep looking on this body as a separate entity, nothing to do with our desires and wishes. That is going on by its own. The heartbeat, yes, but we're not beating it. It's beating by itself. If you understood this, and then you can realize that, you know, the ego is based on these, the body that you have. You look in the mirror, you know, you try to, you know, identify yourself with that face that you see in the mirror, that is you. And then how you look, how your nose is, how your eyes are, ears, whatever, your face and your body, you look at it and this is my body, the notion's coming in, and you try to improve it. And if you don't see it as an entity that is a natural process, then you become too attached to it. You become too attached to it. And then you do all sort of things, isn't it, you know? The cosmetic companies, it's a $1 billion business. Shampoo companies, it's a $1 billion business. Lipsticks, you know, men's cosmetic, etc., isn't it? It's a multi-billion-dollar businesses. So because of this ego I notion coming in. So if you understood this, of course, living in a life like this with other people, we take a certain degree of a level of care to our body, to our, you know, appearance, to be able to appropriately dress and, you know, clean, hygienically clean. But apart from that, we don't have to use, you know, $1,000 makeup or expensive, you know things like that. We can be simple. We can live simply. That is understanding this body as it is. You don't go to lengths trying to beautify it. Yes, reasonably make yourself look presentable. That is good. Buddha also encouraged you to be clean, you know, to have clean clothes and to live in a place where it's suitable for your health and for your practice. Buddha recognized it. So once you have this deep realization and understanding and develop a wisdom for this body, then when you come to attachment, you don't put too much on it. You do it reasonably well, you know. You don't go and buy those shirts that cost about $100, $200, $300, you know, and those clothes that cost about, you know, thousands of dollars, you know. Just a reasonably good clothes, yes. That's all we need. So if you have money, if you do it, well, of course, you know, that's good for the economy, but you know, you don't look much different at all from others, whatever you do, you know. People accept mostly not because of what you wear or, you know, what expensive you have, because they like you or not like you. So that's very important. And when it comes to family, you come to understand that everyone is going according to this law of nature. The body naturally, natural process going by itself, you know, but many people, almost everyone, attaching to these natural phenomena and identifying themselves as theirs, I, me, mine, then emotional, you know, trauma, emotional process going through, you come to understand that. You can forgive that. You can forgive that. If your little young boy start, you know, putting a cosmetic in those days on the hair and make the hair, you know, come out different shapes or whatever. If your little daughter trying to put lipstick on and this and that, try and understand that. This ego identifying process is coming in, doing its job, and you can understand that. You don't go too harsh on them. But the one thing is that as long as you give them love, as long as you let them know that you really love them, you know, the rest you can discipline. You have to discipline. They got to have a set limit. But, you know, but because of that, whatever they do, if we go against it, you know, not understand this ego process, then, you know, we are putting them down. We're putting them down and we push them away. We push them away. Sometimes, you know, we are old people, isn't it? Not old people, some of you are middle-aged, but still not young, isn't it? What we have done when we were young is different from what they're doing today. And we can't relate to that. We can't relate to that because they are totally different. You know, and then see what they are interested in. Some band, you know, I don't know many bands today, you know, what they call, you know, in those days you got this ACDCs and whatever. Now what you got, I don't know, you know, make it a spider band or something like that. If every young girl and boys are going after it, try to understand why they're going after it, you know. Make sure you understand that and then sample yourself a bit of their songs and then, you know, take an interest in it, talk to them about it. Oh, that spider band is very good, isn't it? Do you like it? They say, and then they have something to relate to you, to talk about. Understand that this is a natural process. When we were young, isn't it? We go for those bands too, you know, and then people, we jump up and down and we shout, not me, but many of us do, isn't it? So then if that's the case, the same thing, the ego process is, you know, building up, identity process. At this stage, we can't push it down. We have to accept it. We have to understand it. Only when, with age and time and experience, then people come to understand, you know, what you are doing. As long as you let them know that you really love them, you know. Amidst all the arguments and this and that, you know, suddenly remind yourself, do I love my child, this boy that is, you know, throwing tantrums to me, you know, saying all these rubbish to me, and this girl that is revolting to me now, you know. since she come to this age. Remind yourself, do I love them? I do. Why am I doing all these things? Because I love them. I want them to be going in the right direction. Go and give them a hug and say, Dad loves you, Mom loves you. This is understanding this identity process coming from this I putting in front of this natural process, thinking that natural process is done by me, I. So if you understand that, you can forgive. You can forgive and you can use skillfully instead of going from outside, going from inside and see what is their interest and understanding what we have done when we are young. And we look all right now, isn't it? We came out okay. All these bands that we go and listen to and, you know, what is that, Beatles and Cliff Richards and AC/DCs and Pinks and whatever, isn't it? So understand that, put interest in it, this identity process. When it comes to ourselves, when we are angry, when we are frustrated, when we are short-tempered, contemplate on this. Why is it so? Why are we identifying ourselves with these natural processes as me and mine, that I'm doing it? We need to break it down bit by bit, coming from this body. Now the heart is beating faster because of this emotional created by it. And then the mind factors, like dislike, pain and pleasure, praises and blames, you know, emotions, feelings, perceptions, mental formations coming in. Because we are identifying with it. It is my duty, you know, to control it, to, you know, say this. Then that I process make us angry. That I process push other people away. So wisdom and skill is very important in understanding this. And when we want something to do, isn't it? When we are full of, desires to have something, you know, to have somebody, then, you know, look at ourselves. This I process is now coming in again. We refrain ourselves because if it is an unwholesome thing, if it is a sexual misconduct, then it's doing evil. It's doing unwholesome things and the consequences are not pleasant. Then we're not kind to ourselves. We're not kind to ourselves. We're not understanding how to look after this body, our emotions, our feelings. That's because we're blind. Buddhist said, you know, blinded by the ignorance, led by the desire. That is his own word. But exactly the same for everyone. Not understanding this natural process, putting I in the first, my desires, I want it. And then what happens? Doing all the affairs and this and that, later on people found out,